Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Good morning, everyone. Jennifer Zamparelli here. I'm with you till 12 now. My next guest, Joseph Bates, threw himself into really intense and dangerous careers. Now, from the outside, he was, well, the ultimate action man, but inside was a very different story. He's on the line now from London. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Look, thank you so much for doing this. But just in case anyone thinks when I said you had a dangerous or intense career, I was kind of half joking or messing. Can you just explain to people what you got yourself into?
So I joined the Marines when I was 17 and then went straight to Iraq as a sniper. I joined the Marines because my father died when I was 17 through something called the Pick's disease, which is a very severe form of Alzheimer's. Died quite suddenly, so I didn't know what to do. So went straight to the Royal Marines, picked one of the hardest things to get into, and then went straight to Iraq as a sniper and did Bajra at Baghdad, and then came back from that and then went straight into Special Forces selection. And then joined the SBS, Special Boat Service, and then did back-to-back tours of Afghanistan. You know, everything from hostage rescues to night raids to, you know, flying around the edge of the Himalayas with a sniper rifle on my lap. So yeah, it was pretty hairy, but fun.
Were you just fearless?
I think, you know what, like, people always ask me this, and I think I went through such a trauma of losing my dad, who was like my, you know, absolute idol. I was the youngest boy in the family. And so I don't think anything could affect me as much of that, as much as the kind of danger and the horrible side of what I saw there, if that makes sense. You know, I lost my dad to mental health, really. You know, Pick's disease. He didn't know who we were when he passed away, his own kids, which is brutal. So I think I was just quite numb to trauma almost, if that makes sense, the stuff I saw.
Yeah, and you pushed and pushed and pushed, didn't you, from 17 onwards. Just going back to that time when you were 17, do you remember getting any counselling or speaking about it, or how you dealt with such a horrific thing to happen in your life?
Yeah, you know what, it's my mum's a psychologist. She ran educational psychology in Devon, so I was in a good, you know, I was in a good household for it.
But then she has her own
trauma
as well.
Exactly. Oh my God, of course. Yeah. You know, she was trying to bring up kids, and also she had just lost her husband, and they met at university. So to answer your question, no, you know, I didn't. I think we lived down in Devon, and I used to disappear on my mountain bike up onto Dartmoor and just get away from it all. You know, no, I didn't. I wish I had, but I didn't.
So after all these, mental career choices, you came back home and then you went into the corporate world. Is that right?
Yeah, I joined. I kind of did the thing, you know, left the military, became a bodyguard, looked after quite a prominent American billionaire for a year. And then I just didn't know what to do. And I kind of assumed that I heard trading, you know, trading equities. Being a stockbroker, you can make lots of money. And that was my goal at that point, you know, which was the complete the wrong thing to do. And went into, ended up trading equities for Citibank. And that's when a lot of my kind of, and basically everything caught up with me. You know, going from running around Afghan to suddenly getting the night tube or the night bus, you know, into Canary Wharf, trading equities all day, not even seeing the sun, sat on the same chair, and then going out every night and drinking with clients and misbehaving in other ways.
Were you just distracting yourself from sitting with yourself for a moment and dealing with what you'd been through? Do you think those were just years? You were just, it sounds like you're on this treadmill. It's interesting. I read that, you know, you were doing these grueling sessions in the gym, like 2 hours, but you said punishing yourself in the gym after being out on the smash the night before. And what was your relationship with food around that time? What was that like?
Well, it was bad. You know, I didn't really have a relationship with it. Well, I just didn't really like eating much. I just, you know, I think '90s, early 20s, everyone was talking about like the carbs, the enemy. Do you remember that? Like no carb before marbs. And it was just like stupid. Like you need carbs, you know, if you're going to train hard. So I would get up, have like a whole pot of coffee, like a monstrously nuclear powerful coffee, So I wouldn't eat, and then I'd go to the gym and do a probably hour and a half, 2 hours until I'm almost like dizzy and, you know, feeling completely out of it.
Horrible.
Sometimes throwing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like full on brutal. There's nothing in me already. And then having, you know, going for lunch and having like literally like a tuna salad or just eggs and things like that. And then in the evening, because I knew I had to go out, or like as you said, on the smash and entertain clients, I'd rather take the calories from booze than not actually eat properly. So you just get just like, oh my God, I was like,
how many years, Joe? How many years were you doing that for? How long was that going on for? Like,
probably, I reckon 6-7 years of doing that. Yeah, 6-7 years of doing it. And I think you kind of get conditioned to it, but you get conditioned to it. You can live through it. But the problem is you just degrade every day. You're chipping away at yourself. And I was at a wedding, and I'll never forget this. I was at a friend's wedding, and my brother, who's like almost my best mate, came up to me and he was like, dude, you've like lost the spark in your eye. He was like, what's going on with you? And he could just see I was just this thing, you know? I just felt empty. And that was when I went to kind of seek help at that point.
Finally. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it took me long enough, honestly.
You went all around the world, you know. But you hear this so often because, let's be honest here, blokes rarely have those conversations. When you're with your mates or your work colleagues, you sit down, you talk about the match that's on, you talk about what's going on, but you never ask, very rarely ask that question, especially back then. How are you? I mean, you know, it's a simple thing, isn't it?
It's really tricky. And I think especially, you know, I was in the Marines, then UK Special Forces, which is like one of the top tiers in the world of being a hard bloke, if that makes sense, which makes it kind of even harder. You know, I left and I had this like brand that I kind of had to represent, which I think I was a very good operator. But so that in a weird way for me made it even harder, if that makes sense. Like I knew I was having these issues and I couldn't really talk about it. But suddenly when I did seek help, like I got it. Like it's the best feeling. And that's why I started the company that I founded a couple of years ago, that it is the best feeling in the world talking to someone that is completely impartial. Like you can say anything, right? You can walk into that room and talk about one thing 1 week, and the next week you might talk about something completely different. But it's a beautiful thing to have someone that doesn't judge you like 1%, if that makes sense. And they're just there to talk and listen. It's a really beautiful thing.
And the woman in your life, you also mentioned, saved you as well. Jodie is a former supermodel. We know Jodie Kidd. And she says, like, she saw signs in you of things that she had endured. It must have been very worrying time as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jode suffered from like chronic anxiety, you know, so she was, when she went like wafer thin and all the press kind of would attack her, it wasn't because of food, but that anxiety made her not eat.
Of
so
course.
It was kind of this self, you know, it was like a snowball effect with Jode's. And I think Jode's just, she's seen enough people in her life, in fashion and even in just TV. And she's just, Jode is very healthy now with what she eats. Like she's very sensible, you know, she trains, but she eats really good, solid food. And I think when she was seeing me at home, you know, just having a coffee and then again, like sometimes skipping lunch and then maybe like tucking into a bit more booze, she would clock it straight away. And actually the main point, almost a catalyst when Jode really was like, we need to jump on this like eating stuff, was when our little boy, who's 10, the most beautiful little, I would say that, right?
Yeah.
The most beautiful little thing in the world.
He is.
He started suddenly like asking about calories, and it was a bit too much.
Okay.
He's like, Daddy, how many? And I was like, well, like the minute when my behavior is affecting someone else, like a little person, is not cool. You know, so.
Fair play to you for doing the work. But do you think you finally, I don't, you'll never get over a loss like that. Never, I don't think. But have you learned to deal with it a bit better now after seeking help and the simple, simply talking to someone else about it?
Yeah, I have. I think it's a really, really hard one. Like specifically something like Pix, which is so, he degraded so fast. So, you know, when he got to the point when he doesn't even know who his kids are, and you know, Dad was like late 40s.
Wow.
You know, he was like young. Yeah. And, you know, I never forget going to see him because mum was like, you have to go and say goodbye to him because she knew it was getting to that kind of time. And I went to see him in the institute, a kind of, a home, a mental institute. And it was just horrendous, like absolutely horrendous. Like exactly what you think it's like, put it that way.
I've never heard of PICS. We're all familiar with Alzheimer's, but this is a kind of a form of that, but it's more progressive. Is that right?
Really, really aggressive. Yeah. Very, very aggressive. Like from contracting it, we're talking like years, really. From when it's diagnosed, it's years, and it can get people younger, if that makes sense, in the 30s, even 40s. It's still quite unknown in terms of science behind it.
Now, all this that you've been through, I mean, you've had an incredible life, but it's led to the creation of something, which is why we wanted to talk to you. And can you tell the listeners about the website?
Yeah, so I've created something called Halen. The website's halenstrength.com. And I looked at the kind of therapy market and the coaching market, the life coaching market, and it all just felt quite samey. I'd say samey quite, especially for guys. Nothing felt overly aspirational, if that makes sense. A lot of the platforms out there felt quite feminine, and that's great. That's a certain market. But, I wanted to make it feel a bit more the kind of things that I've been through, make it feel more premium, make it feel more aspirational. And people can go on the website, download the app, go on the app store. It's just under Halen, H-A-L-E-N. Download the app. You just answer a few questions and select things you want to work on. And then our algorithm matches you with different life coaches or therapists or performance psychologists. And then you can just, you have an intro session for £10. And then you can just book from there. So you can book bundles of sessions. And our ambition with this thing as a company is that I want to be sat there, or whether it's in a bar or in a cafe, and hear people saying they've got their Halen session, and it be completely normal, like a PT session, like create that kind of normality around it. And we're getting there, and people are starting to talk about it. So, I'm super proud of the team.
It's genius. It's a great idea. It's very much needed, especially with blokes. I mean, COVID really did a number on a lot of men. They suffered, and we talk about it on the show quite often. And you're right; it's having something at their fingertips, something easily they can go to and have a session for whatever reason is so important. Come here to me. You're engaged now. How's life?
Engagement life is amazing. I've suddenly like, oh god, now they've got to plan a wedding.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
But we're just going to throw a monstrous party.
Yeah. Any wedding planners on halenstrength.com? Any wedding planners on there?
No. None yet. I think I'll need a Halen session after the wedding, right?
Before, during, and after. Yes, you need it all the time. Exactly. Listen, Joe Bates, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about this amazing website and app. I wish you the very, very best of luck and good luck with the wedding plans.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Bye. Bye-bye. There we go. That is Joe Bates, and you can check it out. HalenStrength.com. There's also an app as well if you want to go and check it out.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.